Okay, we've been on a little series, mini series, shall we say, for talking about Christmas, you know, getting really close. I want to mention to the live stream people that we know live stream next week because we're doing our Christmas program and there's copyright issues with the music, so I'm sure some bootleg stuff will go up from people in the congregation with their phones, but we're not going to put anything official on there because we don't want the Facebook police chasing us down, amen? Have you ever had that happen? I think we have. So you got to stay in line with the laws, so we're not going to do that. But last week we talked about by your word. We looked at the concept of what Mary, the great sacrifice, I guess, she put herself through by choosing to take God at his word. And a lot of us probably in life, when we have actually taken God at his word, has probably put us in some interesting situations. I know when I first got saved, you know, my family thought I was crazy. You know, and I was. I was crazy for Jesus. Amen? So, you know, a lot of people can't handle it when, you know, we decide to make that big change. And, you know, what Mary went through, having her life all planned out and was going to marry the man who wooed her and won her, Joseph, you know, she threw that all away, or risked it anyway, just by taking God at his word. Now, today we're going to, last week was by your word, this week is by your spirit, and then the last week after next week is going to be by your love. So, by your spirit, we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story, okay? Now, if you look at that passage in Luke, where it talks of the angel coming and talking to Mary, it really didn't get weird. What I call weird in a good way, until he mentioned the Holy Spirit was going to make her pregnant. You know, because all the other stuff you could kind of fathom in there, and maybe she was going to bring the Messiah, the deliverer, you know, by natural means through Joseph, who was in the lineage of David. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit was brought on the scene, it made a difference. We're going to pick that up in Luke 1:35. It says, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher, you're the revealer, you're the one who brings things into contrast in our life, Lord, where we can see things in a better way. Right now, I yield to the gift you give me, Lord, and stir it up. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, we see here that the Holy Spirit was going to hover over her, okay? Now, I'm sure that was an interesting thing for her to kind of experience in a big way. I mean, we've all probably felt the Holy Spirit before, right? I mean, it's a good feeling, isn't it, when the Holy Ghost touches you? But she was going to be touched in a way that, you know, we could never really imagine. And what happened was when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, it was kind of a picture to me in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Okay, here we see where the Holy Spirit was also in the area of creation. And what he was doing there, many believe it was he was brooding over the waters. Kind of like a chicken broods over her eggs and things like this, an incubation process. And when the Holy Spirit is kind of a picture, when he came upon Mary and did that creative act, where Jesus Christ himself came down and he was going to be a man. Now, I want us to think about that for a minute. Now, think about the pre-existent Christ. He was God the Son all through forever until he chose to come down and go inside this womb and to become the Son of Man and the Son of God together, okay? Now, I don't want to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, but could you imagine having the power that Jesus Christ had and then to give that up for a short time. I mean, it's probably close to us, you know, choosing to go without hands or feet or eyes or ears, to be limited in that ability. I mean, he was the Son of God, the creative power. And then he chose to come down because he thought that you and I were so important to be restored back to the place, you know, that God wanted us to be. Now, the Holy Spirit was able to bring life to a barren womb. Mary was a virgin, had never had kids before, had never had sex before, but yet the Holy Spirit came upon her and did a creative act. Now, the Holy Spirit in our life is a little different in the sense when, you know, we were born again, you know, the Holy Spirit, you see, we're born by the Word of God, but also by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, okay? The Holy Spirit of God has the power to regenerate, okay? The Holy Spirit can generate, meaning making something out of nothing, but he also can make something out of something that's already there, okay? Now, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit regenerated or brought your existing spirit back to life, where you have connection with God now and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people may not have any experience, I guess, with the Spirit of God in some ways. He can be scary sometimes, right? I mean, he reads our mail, shall we say, and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. He can give things to a preacher sometimes and start telling your business. What that does, it generates faith in us. You know, that God is doing something in our life, and God wants to make a move. And when God wants to move, you know, we need to move with him. So God the Spirit can make something out of nothing as well as something into something else. And that's what we ought to do. So I don't know about you, but Mary's life was totally changed. She was just a little Jewish girl, had her life all planned out, till all of a sudden she was going to be the person who brought the Messiah into the world. Now what's interesting is that, especially in the Protestant, you know, Bibles, you know, Mary didn't go around, she didn't have t-shirts made, you know what I'm saying? I'm the mother of God, you know what I'm saying? She kept it really down low, didn't she? She just kept pondering these things in her heart. And see, sometimes when the Holy Spirit does something in your life, it's maybe just between you and God. Amen? We don't have to tell everybody about it. It's just something that God wants to do in our life, something that God wants to do special for us. And he wants to stir us up and, you know, draw us into a deeper place that he wants us to be. So here we see the idea again of God, you know, what he had to do without going into the whole story. You know, when Adam sinned, he lost the title deed, shall we say, to the planet. You know, because God had given man dominion. Man lost dominion when he sinned. So God had to find a way of being able to get into one of these bodies, so that he could live sinless like Jesus Christ did, and that he went and paid the price for all mankind. So when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and made her pregnant, you know, that gave her Jesus' body. But on the inside, he was God, deity. And remember in the scripture, a little later it talks about when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, how her spirit jumped. You know, she tell that she come in presence, you know, with the presence of God. So the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we need to do is that Mary accepted God's word, which led to her receiving God's Spirit. And this is how the process is for you and I, especially when we want to go deeper in the things of God. First, we have to understand, you know, the truth of God's word and what it really means to us, okay? Is God's word real? Does God's word say what it really says? And what am I going to do about it? Okay? So when we receive God's word, when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word," well then, the Holy Spirit came into her life and things started to change. And that's similar, a picture, what you and I did. Hopefully you've, you know, when you sat down to pray, when you sat down to read the word, you know, just say, "Holy Spirit, help me. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to lead me and guide me. I want you're the Spirit of truth. Can the Spirit of truth lead you astray? No, he will not. So, that's all part of the process of what it means when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in what he says. So, we have to believe that God says it before we can be a part of what is going to do in our life. Now, the Holy Spirit's work, I'm just trying to draw some correlations in our life. See, when Mary became pregnant with the Holy Spirit, you could look at her and you could probably see that nothing happened, right? You probably couldn't tell anything had happened. Nothing big had happened. Just like in pregnancy. You know, you can't tell somebody's pregnant, really. I mean, sometimes people say they're glowing. I don't know. But see, only when they start to grow is when you see something happened. And so when we start to grow in the things of God, people can start to see that the Holy Spirit has been at work in our life. And we need to allow God's Spirit to start to move. Now, how does the Holy Spirit, you know, move in our life? You know, that little witness that we have on the inside. You know, it's funny, in youth group several weeks ago, one of the kids came up and said, you know, I said something I shouldn't have said. And they're a Christian. At least I think they are. Amen. I hope they are. I believe they are. But when I said that, I felt kind of icky right here. Well, good, I said. Not good that you said that, but it's good you can feel the Spirit of God. See, that's the Holy Spirit letting us know that we violated our conscience. And see, that's how we grow. A lot of people just, you know, toss that off in no big deal land or whatever. But we need to see, you know, the idea of what we want to do. One of the things that I wanted to know when I first got saved, and I was, you know, involved in a charismatic Pentecostal church, so it was the lingo everybody used. So I wanted to get to know the Holy Spirit. I wanted to get to know him. Because the Bible says he does certain things. He operates in a certain way. And so I wanted to learn how to do that. And I did. That was one of my main decisions that I made in my life. And I hope you've made that decision in your life. You know, a lot of people say, I just want to know the Word. Well, that's good. We need to know the Word. Because if you chase the Spirit and you don't know the Word, you get weird. Right? Have you ever run into anybody like that? Pastor, you are like that probably, right? No. But, you know, you get the Word of God, it keeps you out of the ditch. The Word of God will keep you out of the ditch. But the Holy Ghost, that's what's going to give you the power to get down the road. Amen? Amen? Getting to know Him in that personal way, you know, that He wants us to know. And this new life that we're talking about, you know, the idea of that growth that's going inside each and every believer. Sometimes you grow fast, sometimes you grow slow. And we just got to hang in there and never give up. And see, it's the hidden work of the Spirit that is always before the manifested presence of God. Okay. Sometimes when you get into the things of God, you don't feel that maybe something's happened as fast as you want. Does it always go as fast as you want? Anybody here ever get it as fast? I know I haven't. I want more. I want it now. I want it yesterday. You know, part of that's, you know, I'm going to do a series on this called On Demand. We're used to on demand, aren't we? You know, you can just hit a button on your TV, on demand. I get the movie I want right now. I don't have to wait. And see, it's not like that with the things of God. Some things are instantaneous, some things are not. Some things take a little bit of time to grow inside of us, and that develops patience. And when we learn how to be patient, then we start to appreciate, you know, things when we get it. And that's a little side thought. But anyway, so for God to operate, he needs us to cooperate. You know, we need, God is looking for a vessel that he can go through. He found Mary. You know, hopefully he's found you and he's found me. And how important it is to be able to walk in the things of God. Now I want to jump over into the story of the Magi, okay? So first we see how the Holy Spirit, you know, came upon Mary and how the Spirit of God hovered over her and he brooded over her. And, you know, to me, when we get to the place in our walk with God, and I'll be honest, it's kind of like high tide, low tide. I mean, I don't know. But sometimes we're at high tide You know what I mean? That means, man, we're just in it. God's so good. And other times it's low tide. Man, where'd God go? You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. It feels like that sometimes. And the problem is that when we're at low tide in our life, and usually it's our problem, not God's problem. We've done something. But that's when we make a bad decision. And I think I'm speaking to somebody right now. You know, maybe you're at a low tide in your walk with God. And you need to not give up. Because that high tide's a-coming. You know, when God opens up the floodgates, amen? You know, that's when things are going to come. And, you know, there's things that we can do to enhance our relationship with God. You know, sometimes, you know, just putting on some worship music. You know, turning off the bad news, you know what I'm saying? Turn off the news and turn on the Christian radio station for a little bit. Start to develop a different atmosphere. How many have walked into a restaurant and that restaurant has, different restaurants have different feels to them, right? You go into some restaurants and, I don't want to eat here. You know, it just is, not right. And it looks clean, but it's just a bad feeling. But then you go to another place, it just feels good. See, it's the atmosphere. And see, we can develop atmosphere in our homes and our families to be able to promote the presence of God starting to manifest in our life. You know, and by doing that and, you know, just singing praise songs and doing these things, and people make fun of me when I get to singing, you know, because I don't sing very good. I know my voice is off today a little bit. I was in some dust, but anyway, messed up my sinuses. But, you know I don't sing well, but I do know I sing to God. I do know that. And when I get into that phase of my life, I know that things are, that's just one of the ways I know I'm in the flow. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And letting that joy start to come out in our life and starting to see Him manifest. So that's all part of that brooding process, you know, whatever you need to do to get into the place, you know, where you can get in that place where the Holy Spirit is resting upon you. Because God can do in a second what takes us days, years, weeks, or a lifetime to do. You know what I mean? So whatever it takes to get into that place. And if you have more questions about that, you can see me and I can give you some more tips on that, but I don't want to tie ourselves down to that right now. All right, I want to get to the idea of being Spirit-led. I don't know about you, but this is really what I wanted to get to when I wanted to hear this Holy Spirit's voice. I wanted to be Spirit-led. You know, I didn't want to go off and do things that God didn't want me to do. I want to just do the things that God, you know, had for my life. And, you know, and I see this in the story of the Magi. The Magi. Now, these guys were, lack of a better term, these guys were heathen. They did not know God. The God of the Jews. Didn't have a clue. But from their country, they saw a star. Okay? Much like the star up on that screen. And there is a star up there, right? Yeah, whew. I know there's one on the back screen. Anyway, just checking, I'm making sure we're on the same page. But you know, they saw that star. And what's interesting, I believe that star was the Holy Spirit in myself. I believe it was, you know, the same Spirit that in the Old Testament, you know, led the children of Israel by a pillar of fire by night and had a glory cloud by day. Okay? Now, those are things that the Jews could understand. See, the Jews could understand angels, right? Angels was a part of their culture, you know, because they had, you know, talked about them in the Old Testament. That's why an angel spoke to Matthew, and angels talked to them and different things, and Mary, an angel. They didn't really know the Holy Spirit as good. Now, these Magi, they were astrologers. So guess what God did to touch them? He used a star. See, God's going to use things that you're used to in your life to try to get your attention. To try to get you to follow Him and be to the place. Now, I don't know about you. I've done some crazy things. I remember one time, I don't want to tell this story, but I thought I had an address in my head. I drove up to this address. I missed it, man. The guy said, what? Who are you? You know. Anyway, I went there. So I can't imagine what these guys felt like. They saw that star, and they loaded up their camels, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know. They just loaded up, and they headed off, you know. And they went on, and they wanted to see what this was. See, God used that, the Holy Spirit, and, you know, it was a Shekinah glory of God. Now, what happened was something that happens to you and me. Have you ever felt God tell you to do something, and then you start out following God, and then along the process, you lost your way? And see, that's what happened to them. So, Benzai was trying to find a king. Guess where they went to try to look for him? In the palace. They went to King Herod, okay? Knocked on the door or whatever they did, and they asked him for directions. He didn't have a clue. Here was the king of this land, and the same star that was in the sky far away to draw the Magi, he was clueless. See, the world is clueless about the things of God. We just have to realize that. They're not going to understand it all the time. So sometimes we need to break it down, you know, sometimes in ways, you know, that they will understand, because the Spirit of God, it's this enemy to them. And we need to make sure that we're following God the way we need to be. And see, when they had lost their way, see, they made a mistake, because, you know, we fail when we ask sinners for direction for our life. Because a lot of times we try to fit in. And fitting in is not what it's really all about all the time. You know, God wants us to be different, and different for a reason. Not just to be different, but to make a difference in life. So what happened is, when they went to ask the king stuff, we know the story. King was clueless. He had everybody looking. He was kind of a sneaky old dude. He said, well, when did you see the star? We know that later on, many babies, Jewish boys, were killed because of this incident. You know, they told the king that story when they saw it, so he went and just wiped out all the male children. So sometimes we don't tell everything we know. Amen? Because that got a lot of people killed. And so when they left the king, all of a sudden the star reappeared. And it led them to where they needed to be. They went and saw the Christ child. And like anybody else, you know, just so you know, Jesus was not in the manger at this time when the wise men showed up. There's probably a time span, you know, before they got there. Jesus was in a house, it said, when he showed up. And they brought him gifts. What were those gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? So they came, you know, they knew enough to bring God something. And that's what we need to do. Make sure when we come to God, we bring something. We might have gold, frankincense, or myrrh. I know you don't, you know, have the last two probably for sure. You might have a little gold on you. I don't know. But it's important that we come bearing gifts every time we come to God, every time we come into his presence of the Christ child. Now, something to think about. Why did Jesus need gold, frankincense, or myrrh? God must have known they needed it, or they wouldn't have brought it. Well, remember Joseph had a dream again, and an angel told him to get out of there? Because, you know, Joseph was a godly man. I mean, Mary gets a lot of credit, and which she should. But Joseph was a good guy. You know, I mean, that's the kind of guy, you know, you'd want raising the Son of God, I think. He chose to put Mary away secretly, didn't want to put her to death. And then he carried her, took her to the census at the time it was supposed to be. And then when it was time to save Jesus, you know, the Savior needed saved. He's just a little baby. And the angel said, go to Egypt. Well, it takes money to travel. How many knows it takes a little money to travel? Well, they already had what they needed. See, when God calls you to do something, he'll provide. Amen? When he guides, he provides. So they had this gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they took off to Egypt, and they went over there, and they waited till Herod died and before they came back to Jerusalem. So that's just a little bit about the story. I mean, we've heard that story, I'm sure, many times, probably every year. But, you know, it's important that we understand that, you know, the Holy Spirit and the part that he plays so much in our life and how we need to do it. Now, why the Magi? You know, to me, it's comforting to know that God wanted to reveal himself to Gentiles, which you and I are Gentile, to a degree, right? God just didn't want to keep the Savior of the world to a Jewish nation. And we shouldn't keep him to ourselves either. Right? You know, God wanted to bring in the Gentiles, so he used these magi to come and help fund, you know, Jesus' trip that he had to do to go and to a safe place for a while. And like I said, the Holy Spirit revealed himself in a way that they would understand. And see, that's what we need to be. We shouldn't write people off. You know, God says, whosoever will. And I'm sure right now you could probably think of somebody you think there's no hope for. I can. But I got to get that out of my mind. Because I know there's people that thought there was no hope for me. And I made it. So don't ever give up, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're doing. You know, trust the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. Okay, so how should we respond to this story? I got a couple, three questions I want to ask us here. Number one, what do you feel the Holy Spirit is trying to create in you today? What do you feel that the Holy Spirit is trying to create in your life today? What's he wanting to do in your life? You know, how do we respond to that? You know, we need to ask him, God, is there anything, you know, that you want to do by your Spirit? Anything in me you want to do to me or through me? You know, I'm a candidate. Here I am. Send me. But don't do that. Jonah prayed that prayer. And he got mad because God told him to do something that he didn't want to do. Have you ever had that happen? Jonah hated the Ninevites. They were their arch enemy, and God said, go preach the gospel to them so they might repent and get saved. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you said you'd go anywhere. Right? So we got to go. We got to do what he says. Okay, what's the Holy Spirit trying to do? And then secondly, are you following a king when you should be following a star? Are we looking to the world system to try to put us over, to try to be our all in all, to try to answer the things in our life that we need to do, or should we be the people who are willing to follow the Spirit of God? You know, wherever that may lead us, whatever that may do. I remember, and you know, most people don't want to do this because they think, oh, God will make me become a missionary. You know, that's the old school way. You know, I don't want to pray something like that to God because he'll make me go overseas. Well, no, he won't. Believe me, if God called you overseas, that's the most happy you'll ever be when you get there. I guarantee it. You know, if God calls you into something, no matter what that is the center of the place that you need to be. Amen. I'm not saying you won't have battles. I'm not saying you won't have a war every now and then. But being in the place God wants. So, you know, be willing to follow the star, especially this Christmas season. You know, wherever God leads you. You know, I was just so blessed the other day. Somebody came into my office and they said, you know, they want to be a blessing to somebody. And I said, oh, that's great. They said, we haven't done this for a while, but I want to buy some Christmas presents for somebody that could really use it. And I said, cool. She said, if you know anybody, let me know. They don't go to this church. I met them on a different deal one time and they just happened to show up. Yeah, we'll plug in with somebody. But see, you don't know when those little opportunities are going to come your way. You're probably out there saying, oh, did he give him my name? Did he give him my name? No, I'm just kidding. Most of you guys are all blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen. So lastly, I just want to say, God's unfolding plan always leads to his everlasting purpose. Okay. So we take that step. We start to follow the Holy Spirit. We step out like the wise men. They just start heading towards the star. Sometimes that's all you can do. Just go where you know. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I got to go to that star. And when I get to that star, I'll find the next step. Okay? So sometimes, you know, we have to just let that unfolding plan just be a part of our life and let God start to move in a mighty way. You know, this is the time of year when, you know, everybody gets the feeling, you know, really Christmassy, you know what I mean? Hopefully you feel a little Christmassy as it's coming up. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to feel that way if you got too much going on. But I encourage you to really use this time to first say, God, Let it to be me according to your word. And then, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. And hopefully that'll hold us over for a couple weeks till we get to by your love. And when we understand, and I can't really explain it totally, I've experienced it, but it's hard to explain it. Can you really explain what love is? The love of God and what that means to each and every person. When I found out how much God really loved me, it changed me in a way that I said, there's nothing I would not do for my God. Amen. Because of that love. Nobody's ever loved me like that. And I pray that you start to experience that love yourself. Let's pray.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Hallelujah.